We heard from Pastor Paul this morning that he already has a sermon planned about a piece of fruit. I'm looking forward to that. I hope I'm here that Sunday. But because nobody else mentioned it, I felt touched to mention this in your bulletins. This is special about the Messiah, about Jesus. Pastor Paul, this is enough for at least 44 more sermons.
Last Sunday, I preached using that as a guide, and Sister Diane asked me to send a link so she could study on it. So thank her for seeing to put it in the bulletin. So everybody say amen.
Amen.
And you're right, that's about 2 years worth right there.
Yeah. That's great. I'm going to stick mine in the back of my Bible and take it home with me and look at it more later. Well, one thing I wanted to do this morning, along with Sister Fran, is to share with you, communicate clearly what our plans are now as a ministry, as a couple, as a family. Up until now, as most of you know, we've been serving the Lord pretty much full-time in Brazil, where it's warm. But they don't have, admittedly, they don't have beautiful spring days like today. Last year was my first spring in about 35 years, because I had either been in Miami, Florida, where they don't have beautiful spring like you do here, or in Brazil, where they don't. So I really appreciated it last year, and after this brutal, vicious winter, I appreciated spring of 2014 possibly even more. So we had been down serving the Lord full time in Brazil. And that whole time, of course, Longmeadow was supporting us with your prayers, which we really needed. It's an essential part of our ministry, your prayers, prayers of other individuals, of friends, and we'd send the newsletter and communicate as best we could. Also, you were blessing us with offerings to help support us financially. We're grateful for that, too. So what's going to happen now? We have not lost the missionary vision. We are, as it were, I don't know if this is the best possible example I can choose this morning, pressing the pause button. If you're watching a video on YouTube, you can turn it on, you can turn it completely off, or you can pause it in the middle. And then you do something else and you come back to it. So we're, as it were, pushing the pause button on our ministry in Brazil while Robert and Alice are going through college. We feel peace about this. It's not like God's having to drag us back to Hagerstown, Maryland. Not at all. This is where God wants us to be for this time. Robert's full-time at Liberty. We're here to help him financially. I'm working full-time. Fran possibly get a job when her new green card comes through. Helping him financially. Alice, Lord willing, will start at HCC in August. We appreciate your prayers for Alice and Robert, too. They need your prayers. Alice is interested in studying nursing. And I told her, Alice, prepare yourself to memorize a humongous amount of stuff. Parts of the body. I can't even imagine that the body has that many parts, but it does. And Alice has to memorize all that to do good in her nursing study. So, Lord willing, Alice has already applied. She's been accepted to HCC. She's going to go through HCC, taking a summer course. I guess in just a couple of weeks she'll get started with her first college class and then go through. We do not know, Fran and I, how long we're going to be here, but we're going to be here for the foreseeable future. We can't set a date yet and say, well, no, the fall of 2018 or 19 or 17 or 16, we're going back to Brazil. We don't know when yet, but we are going back to Brazil. We are going back to Brazil. Our minds and hearts are not in Brazil now. They're here with Robert and Allison. What we need to do today, what we need to do tomorrow. But when the Lord gives us the word, Lord willing, we're going to go back to Brazil and probably back to doing the same ministry we were doing in Lábrea, the little river front community in the middle of the Amazon region where there are a large number of indigenous people groups. So please, we need, even in this transition phase, we thank you again for your prayers and for your continued financial support as a body of believers. We praise God for you. We are doing all of this, brothers and sisters, gladly, with enthusiasm in our hearts. It's a privilege. It was a privilege to serve God in Brazil. It's a privilege to serve God here. It was a privilege to be there with our children, watch them growing up in the middle of the jungle. Alice tells us a number of times, please don't tell them that I was, don't tell them I was raised in the jungle. That's not. Well, I mean, she was, we didn't like, you know, she wasn't born in the jungle, and while she was, and Robert was too, part of their lives raised in the jungle. I mean, it makes them sound like savages. But they were also about the same amount of time raised on the missionary base, which is surrounded by jungle too, but it's a different situation. Okay. Yes. Yeah, so we thank you for, we did it joyfully. You know, we did it joyfully. Whether we were there, whether we were visiting back in the States, back here now, we're doing it joyfully because we're serving and we're doing it for God. We're not doing it for us. We're doing it for God, for our God. And right here, right now, is where God wants us to be. Now, I apologize to Diane. I got an email from Diane, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, and I completely forgot that I need to send Diane the sermon title on the Wednesday so it can be put into today's bulletin. So,
you did, I got it.
Well, that's not the reason I'm apologizing. I'm apologizing because I'd now like to change the title if I may.
That's all right, it's been done before.
Please, please let me change the sermon title, please. So, a more apropos sermon title would be, Who or What Do You Trust? Who or what do you trust? How does the world measure success? Well, we can, you know, real quick, we're not going to spend much time on this. That's not where we want to end up today. Physical beauty. Some people are, they're well known, they're famous, world renowned, because of their beauty. Male or female models, actors, actresses, and whoever. I mean, even singers that are renowned for their music are also can be renowned for their beauty. That's one way the world measures success. Physical beauty, fame. People have become famous for some of the weirdest stuff. Beauty, fame, wealth. Bill Gates has been in the news for a number of years because for a number of years he's been one of the wealthiest men on the entire planet. And people go, I mean people out there in the world system, wow, yeah, I'd like to be like Bill Gates, you know, come up with the multi-billion dollar idea and become a multi-billionaire. You know, looks, fame, fortune, success, beauty. That's how the world measures success. And even in the church, prosperity theology has entered in. It's been in for a number of years. Commonly known as the name it, claim it. I mean, you're there, we don't see too many Rolls Royces, you know, in Hagerstown, but I mean in New York, D.C., wherever, you know, and yes, Lord, you see one driving by, you know, and yes, Lord, I claim that for me. Some churches preach that. We don't preach it here. It's wrong. It's crooked. It's off the track theology. Name it, claim it. But still, the idea of our standards of success, excuse me, the world's standards of success have to a certain extent infiltrated the church, and we need to stop and examine what is it we really believe And what is it, or who is it, that we trust? That we trust. What makes us a success? Are Fran and I successes by the world standards? Not at all. Not at all. I mean, you may have heard me tell you this before. There was one time a number of years ago, we went to the Washington County Health Service. Fran probably had to get a vaccine. I mean, it was possibly her first time here in the States, and she had to get some yellow fever or some sort of vaccination. They had a sliding scale. And we had a letter from Longmeadow that was signed by the then pastor. You know, Longmeadow, David and Fran, their annual income is this much dollars. And, you know, the more you made at the health service, the more you paid for the vaccine. I think that's a neat idea. If you make more, then you paid more for the vaccines. If you make less, then you pay less for the vaccine. The lady started up at the top. I looked at this letter, and her finger went like this. And she said, "You know, Mr. Irving, you're off the charts. We're not going to charge you a thing. It's for free." And yet, we have God provides cars for us and houses. And it's not just for us, the missionaries. It's for us, the body of believers. It's not a special missionary deal or pastor deal. If you sign this contract promising to be a missionary for 20 years, you're good. That's not our motivation. That's not how it works. But let's get into this a little bit more. So by the world's standards, Fran and I are failures. We haven't achieved any of the standards that the world has to measure success. But we can't trust looks or fame or money in the bank. That's not who we can trust. It's vain. It's vanity, as Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's vain, it's vanity. What's our starting point? Philippians 4:19. "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:19. "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." And if we stop there, we could easily see how the prosperity preachers, the preachers of the prosperity gospel, could use this. Oh yes, you're a Christian now. That means God has to supply all of your needs. But it's by Christ Jesus. It's by Christ Jesus. It's a person that supplies all of our needs. It's not because I'm a Christian. It's not because I know I'm going to heaven. It has to do with my relation to Jesus and trusting Jesus with my needs. Who do we serve? Who do we trust? Who do we obey? Amen. You can say it louder.
Jesus Christ.
Absolutely, a person. We can't trust our bank accounts. A number of years ago, this was even before, Fran and I were on the mission field already, but it was even before they came out with ATM cards. Nowadays, for us, it's a lot easier. Everything, including banking that we do in Brazil, okay, the internet in Lábrea is like really slow, so you have to be extremely patient. You've never seen the internet so slow. Okay, it's slow, but we can get in. I can get into our bank account that's here in the States on a computer in Lábrea in the Amazon region of Brazil. That's now. I have an ATM now. I can stick into an ATM machine in Lábrea and get money out, and it's automatically switched into Brazilian money, so I stick my hand and it comes out as reais. That's now. But back then, imagine this. Imagine this. How could I imagine entrusting my checking account that I had at a Hagerstown bank 20 years ago. There wasn't any computer banking. I really didn't know at any given day how much money was in my account, and yet to get money in Brazilian money back then, I had to go to a money changer, write out by faith. Remember the verse in Romans, the just shall live by faith? My banking was by faith, really by faith back then. I didn't know. Many times I couldn't get through to my parents to find out how much was in the bank account. And there's a delay. There's also a delay thrown into this pot here, this confusing pot, because I wrote out the check in Brazil one day. I handed it to the money changer. He gave me a few minutes later money, the equivalent in Brazilian money. But then for that check to physically, paper check, leave Brazil, get placed on an airplane or a boat, and get back to, well, I guess I can say the name of the bank, I mean, F&M, it's now Susquehanna. This isn't a free plug for the Susquehanna Bank here in Hagerstown from Brazil. Physical paper check, how much time did that take? And when someone made a deposit into Susquehanna Bank, when was I really able to draw it out in Brazil? We had to live by faith. We had to trust God. Also, I mean, use wisdom. I wasn't going to write out a $5,000, you know, check, I mean, every month, because the money wasn't going to be there. We had to live by faith. We could not trust our money to be in the bank in the States for us to use in Brazil. We couldn't trust our bank account because we didn't know how much money was really in there at any given time on which I could write out a check. We didn't know. We had to find someone else, a someone to trust to give us wisdom to make wise decisions. Who do you serve? Who do you trust? Who do you obey? The just shall live by faith. Another example, real life. 50-some years ago, my dad, before, then, and since, had been an employee of the Western Maryland Railroad. Back then, it was one of the big three employers in Hagerstown, right up there with Mack Truck, Fairchild, and the Western Maryland. He was an employee. Could my family dare my parents place their trust in the Western Maryland Railroad? Absolutely not. In the early 60s, 63, 64, some big railroad department head made the decision, we're shutting down the Western Maryland Railroad in Hagerstown. That was back then. My parents, and I remember this, I wasn't like they didn't share all the details with this with me because, I mean, I was a child. But I remember this. They started praying. My parents started praying. The decision had been made to shut down the Western Maryland Railroad, or practically shut it down, in the early to mid-60s. My father had already been working there 10 years. Decision had been made, human decision. Who are you going to believe? You're going to put your trust in men? Did my dad immediately say, I have to look for another job? My parents put it before the Lord. They said, Father, we trust in you to provide for us. They started praying. And the Western Maryland shut down. But it shut down 20 years later. And it shut down just a short time after my father had been there, that required 30 years so that he could receive his railroad retirement check. They trusted God. They didn't trust the job situation. They didn't trust the boss. I've known my boss all my life. I'm good, man. He can't fire me. I'm not going to be fired from this job because I grew up with my boss. Who can we trust? We can't trust people in this situation. There's a verse in Psalms that says, or Proverbs that says, cursed is the man who puts his trust in men. Can you trust your retirement check? No. Can you trust your bank account? No. Can you trust your house? No. We know a couple, and you know them too, a number of years ago. They completely lost their house because of a fire in their kitchen. Went up in smoke in a number of minutes. Who do we trust? Who do we believe? Who did Frayne and I trust all those years on the mission field? If you were working or are working for Citicorp, you certainly can't trust Citicorp. I read in the Hagerstown paper a number of, I believe, weeks or months ago, can't remember right when it was, they were going or they've already laid off 500 or 600 employees. Think of it. You have a secure job, you're getting paid well, day after day, month after month, year after year, all of a sudden, for no apparent, well, okay, there are reasons behind the decisions, 500, 600 people laid off. Years ago in my own life, before I was a missionary, it's one of the things that sort of helped push me onto the mission field. I can laugh about this now. I had a plan. Man, I had a plan. I was young, 20-some, 22 years old. I had plenty of energy. I wasn't in a tremendously well-paying job, but man, I could work overtime, and they offered me overtime, and I just drank up the overtime. I was riding a bicycle. I had like zero expenses almost. I was socking that money away month after month and year after year. I told my brother, man, I'm going to be able to retire when I'm 30. Go ahead and laugh. It's what happened? Well, I had it invested in a mortgage company in South Florida. Lost everything. At the same time, God called me to the mission field. Why did I have to lose all that money? Because I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't focused on God. I wasn't putting my trust in God. I was putting trust in something I had done myself, my own money. Retired 30? No. What I wanted to do with this sermon this morning, brothers and sisters, is that even for us, we know that what I'm telling you is true. We know. It's in the Bible. God will supply all of our needs. But for some of us, and sometimes even me, it's the easiest thing we can do. We fall into the habit of putting our trust in people, in bank accounts, in our paycheck or retirement check. So I'm challenging you this morning to live the faith adventure. It's an adventure. You don't get up in the morning and turn on your computer and see how much money you have in the bank. You get up in the morning and you pray. You say, Lord, we need to make a tuition payment for Robert. It's over $1,000. We need to make the first payment for Alice, which is X number of dollars. We need this, we need that, we need, for example, a better vehicle to drive. That's a genuine need. This morning we're driving a better vehicle. In a couple of seconds, Fran's going to share about this in more details. Had we been late the last time when we were driving my father's 1992 Plymouth Acclaim, had we been late, you may have been able to hear us arrive because the car has a serious muffler problem. I didn't realize a car has two mufflers. The mechanic said, yes, sir, your car has two mufflers. And it's the second one that's giving you the problem. I mean, it's like audible. We pull into the center where we're living. They can hear us. They know that's David Fran. They're home. What's the story behind this car out there? It's not a brand new car, but it's a newer 2002 Buick Century. Fran's going to share this story, and then I'm going to conclude.
Imagine we're coming from Brazil after more than 20 years in the mission field. And we are feeling like Abraham when he left where he lived and the Lord said, go. And we felt like this, like just go. And we go, Lord, and what's going to happen? We need a place to live. We need a car to drive. We need a job. You know, living full-time missionaries and come to America. Imagine this. Put yourself in our place. See how you feel. You need to believe that God is great and he's going to provide for you. He protect us in the jungle for so many years against the snakes, against alligators. There was time when we were fishing in the river and the alligator gets very close to Robert. There was a time when I was in the back of my house in the village and I saw a big snake, very poisonous. And the Lord had told me, don't go there yet. The Holy Spirit spoke inside of me. I was planning to go there. And then I didn't go. When I went finally, and the Lord showed me that's the snake, very poisonous. So the Lord protect us for so many different dangers in the jungle with our children. We got sick in the jungle and so many things. And then we come to America. Oh my God, how are we going to live in America? We need to have all a house and everything. And when we got here, we were believing that he is going to provide everything for us. Because he's great. He created heaven and earth. He created the rivers and the oceans. What is a car for God? Isn't it? What is a house for him? Nothing. He can do like this. And I believe in him. And we start praying and fasting and seeking God's face. And even last year, when we went back to Brazil, we prayed the Lord, Lord, we'd like to have our children to be with us for Christmas. And the Lord provided the tickets for them, and we could be for Christmas in Brazil. It was incredible. And we got here, Lord, we have this car, we have a particular noise in this car. And the neighbor said, I know when you come home. Told us. And one day I had a friend and she said, friend, I'd like to go to the retreat center because I'd like to have a time of prayer and fasting. And I said, I'm going to join you, Dave and I. We're going to join prayer and fast with you. And one day she was there praying and it was a time for her to go back home. It was going to snow a lot. And her husband went to pick her up and then the Holy Spirit told her, don't go with your husband. And she said, okay, I'm not going with my husband. And he went back home, and she stayed behind in the retreat center. And later, when David came and we came together, we went to pray with her. And then and the Holy Spirit told her, go with them. And then we asked her. We didn't know what the Holy Spirit was speaking to her. But David said, would you like to go home now? And she said, yes. And we took her home because it was going to have a storm, snowstorm. We took her home. In our way to her house, the car had this noise, oh, something like that thing. How is it? It's just a noisy in the car. And she said, oh, now I know why the Holy Spirit told not to go with my husband and go with you guys. Because so I can hear this noise in this car, I see that you guys need a car. And after that, later, she got there some weeks later. I don't know, 2 or 3, I don't remember. But anyway, they called us and they said, you guys, don't buy a car yet. Okay. And they got there in front of our house and they took this car for us as a present. Hallelujah! Praise God! They gave this car for us as a present. And we were praying for a car. And the Lord provided this car for us. And it's right there, you can see. And now we're praying for a house, and the Lord is going to provide this house. I don't know where, but I know that you guys can even visit us in our house. Soon you will see our house. Amen. Thank you, David.
If you're able, let's stand in closing. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, we declare again, as individuals in the body of believers, you are our God. We declare again, we don't trust in our bank accounts or jobs, but we trust in you. We declare again, we want to live not by sight, not by what we can see and touch, but by faith. Help us all, Father. Fran and I, as missionaries coming back from the field, but all of us, we don't want to become complacent and trust our retirement checks or what we have in the bank or our house that we've paid off or our car that we have. Help us to trust you and thus live a faith adventure day by day with eyes of faith, not what we can see, but what we believe. The character, the God that we know that you are, your unchanging faithfulness from generation to generation. If there's anyone here this morning who would like to come forward for special prayer, for healing, or for any other reason, as I close in prayer, please feel free to do so. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the message. It came from you for us, for me, for all of us this morning. Teach us, Father. Increase our faith so that we can live the adventure of faith on a day-to-day basis. Not knowing what's going to happen, but know that you know what's going to happen. Not knowing how you're going to supply our needs, but knowing that, yes, you are going to supply our needs. We give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.